You say, what have I done? Unbelief's enough. Unbelief's enough. The most heinous crime that a person can commit in this life is to reject the love that God has sent to him through his Son. And that's why hell's forever. Jesus suffered the way he did, left the Father's side, become man, went to Calvary's cross and suffered under the wrath of God until God was satisfied. And everything that we deserved was poured out upon him.
That's right.
He took our licking tonight.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad he did.
Yes.
Amen. All I could do was plead guilty and beg for mercy, but I'm glad there's mercy with the Lord tonight.
Yes.
So what David said when he'd numbered the people and he'd sinned, and he was given three choices. You know, he could suffer the pestilence, flee from the enemy. I forget the other thing. He told what he wanted to do because he knew God was merciful. If you read the text there, you'll find that the Lord said, that's enough. He stayed his hand. That was the mercies of God.
Yes.
And mercy's still being extended, I believe, tonight.
Yes.
To those who he deals with and calls and draws to him. There's mercy and room at the cross for you.
Yes.
I praise him for that. I just wonder, before I try to preach, if there might be a burning testimony. Somebody tonight with praise in your heart and thankfulness and thanksgiving to God. And you know when you need to testify if you know much about serving the Lord. I wondered when they get up and say, I feel impressed. There's several ways to express it. They'd say, I feel impressed of the Lord, prompted by the Holy Spirit to testify, and they would. And I wondered how they knew that. But the very night I got saved, I got off the altar. I didn't say anything at first. I just nodded my head, and we worshiped and rejoiced at what they knew. God had took my burden away, and some come around, and so much going on, you know, did the Lord save you? And I said, yes, he did. And we rejoiced, and the service died down, and we sat down, and I sat down on the amen pew, or the A women side, I guess you'd call it there, where I got saved, sat down on the pew there. And there was something just got to stirring inside of me. And I put it this way, I knew the Lord was wanting me to talk for him. And I stood up, and it wasn't loud and boisterous, and I like a fiery testimony, but I stood up and I said something I'd never been able to say before. I said, I want to thank the Lord for saving my soul tonight, for letting me be here. And that was 1990, and that is my best year. But if you'll obey God, maybe you can look back many, many years from now and say my best year was as Brother Parade tonight. Was seemingly maybe the most horrible year that some people say they've ever faced, but God's still on the throne tonight. Anybody need to praise him, thank him, testify? You know if you need to. It won't hinder if it's of the Lord. All right, you pray for me. I want to do what I've been called to do, is preach the word. I want to do it wittingly. Paul said that if he would do it that way, he'd have reward. But if he didn't, he still needed to do it. And he said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. So I got some text here, a text here in Exodus chapter 14, and then in John, I think it is chapter 20. All I know to do tonight with the way that I feel is just read to you the scriptures that the Holy Spirit has directed my heart to, and trust him to use me. I want to give myself into his hand tonight. I haven't got 5 points on my mind, just one really. But if it's him, he's a good point, ain't he, tonight. I thought of this last night, thought of this a little today, the story of Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And they had came up to a place of stress, a hard place, at the Red Sea. And they was murmuring against Moses, and they had said, we've told you, you shouldn't brought us up here. We would have been better off to die down in Egypt. We would have been better to serve the Egyptians, they said in verse 12 of Exodus 14, than to die in the wilderness. But God had something better for them than the bondage of Egypt. God had something better for them than the Roman that they knew. And God's got something better for you tonight if you're not saved. It says in verse 13, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you today." Today. I like that, don't you? I'm glad today is the day of salvation. He said, "For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again." Well, praise the Lord, no more. That amazes me. Thank God that may not do nothing for you, and you may not even know why I'm acting this way, but I am. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you even know why I'm so stirred, but I am. I know the Lord's got his hand on this thing. In the book of John, Jesus has been crucified. He has been resurrected, seen of Mary, then seen of others. At the time there, he had appeared to them with the door shut. And it said in verse 19, "And came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you." That's the final words of John 20:19. "And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the prints of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach thither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed me, or believed. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Now, I don't want to preach in contrast tonight or conflicting in what I say, or I sure don't want to confuse anybody. And I know that I won't if I will just obey the Lord. But I want to preach tonight on a salvation that you can see. That's what I want to preach on tonight, a salvation that you can see. Now, you'll have to bear with me for me to get through this and bring to you that the Lord has touched our heart upon. Moses said, Stand still and see. Thomas said, I won't believe until I see. We know we're in a different time now. We're after the ascension of Christ, and he has ascended now, and he is at the right hand of the Father. We operate by faith and not by sight. But I believe that there is a salvation that can be seen tonight by the evidence of it. There's a salvation that can be seen tonight by the effects of it. There's a salvation tonight that can be seen and known and revealed to an individual that is so real, it is as real as the experience that Thomas had when he literally saw the Lord. He saw, I can say with the writer, I've never seen the face of my Savior, but one day I will. And there was a man in the Word of God named Simeon who was a just man, a devout man in the book of Luke. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it said it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, that's the Holy Spirit, capital S, led him into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do after him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I'm glad tonight for salvation. There's a many of opinions on really what salvation is. Really there is. But I want to say tonight the best definition of salvation, I believe, and of course we know that the definition of the word salvation means deliverance. We sang a song back home in one of the old churches that I used to pastor, standing there at the Red Sea. God's people began to complain. Pharaoh and his mighty army was a moving up on them. But the song was, God delivers again. I don't know how many times in my ministry that I've been in the altar singing, God delivers again. And we would just rejoice. And I'm glad God is an again God. I'm glad if He's done it once, He can do it again. If it's worth being told once and preached once, it's worth being told again. And I'd like to tell it again tonight. I'm glad as I prayed last night, I said, Lord, move in power and work in power like you did for Samson when he said, Lord, do it again, just one more time. And so I'm glad tonight that God is able. God is able. Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it had ceased to be. They had done tried another avenue to have a child. They had done tried another avenue to achieve and receive the promise of God. She had given permission to go into a bondwoman named Hagar and have a son, and they did, and his name was Ishmael. But God had made him a promise, and years later God said, it's time. I've given you my word, and God said, I keep my word. And he said, how can it be? Sarah laughed. She said, I did not laugh, but she did laugh. How can it be? But it can be with God. There is nothing impossible with God. And Abraham said to Sarah, is anything too hard for God? I want to tell you tonight, you say, preacher, you don't know my case. My case is hard. It looks like tonight it would be real hard for me to get what I need. I want to tell you, there was a man come to the Lord one time and said, I've got a servant that at home that's at a point of death, but I'm a man of authority and I'm not worthy for you to even come under my roof. But this he said, I know that all you've got to do is speak the word and it'll be. And he said that as he left, the Lord said, in all of Israel I have not found so great a faith. And when he got back to where his servant was, he found out that the servant was well and found him well, and it was in the self same hour. All the Lord's got to do tonight is just speak the word and it'll be. The very same God tonight that said, let there be light, is still among us tonight. His son, in the word of God in John 1, talks about him, how that he spoke, and he is the light that lighteth every man into the world. There was nothing made that was not made by him. Colossians says, and it's all for him, and by him all things consist. Let you know tonight he's still in control, because the earth is still sitting on her axis and she's still spinning tonight, and the sun rose this morning and set. You said, I didn't see it. Could the clouds can empower our view? But I'm glad above the storm the sun still shines, and I'm glad everything tonight is just going just like God has had it. It's working after the counsel of His own will. My spirit was groaning last night in prayer, bring it to pass, Lord, bring it to pass. I looked it up, about five or six accounts in my Bible where the Lord said, bring it to pass. In one place God said, I will bring it to pass because I have purposed it. And when God purposes something, it will be done. And I'm glad of that. Brother in Indiana preached the message once on, you can't stop God. And you can't stop God tonight. And I'm glad it's that a way that builds my faith, helps me, encourages me in my heart. But I want to preach tonight on a salvation you can see. And I may not preach long. I've heard many people in my life that have told of their a testimony of salvation and their experience of salvation. I first want to do say this tonight. You don't have to be in an altar to be saved. There is no virtue nor power in the altar. But it is something special when the Lord draws upon a person's heart to come and kneel and call upon His name. I got it that way. I was singing that song today. They say it's unscriptural to kneel at a bench in an old-fashioned altar to pray. I have only one argument for that. Brother, I got it that way. I did, and I know in my heart that it was not the altar. I now know in my heart as like a rope was on my heart, connected to the man of God into the front of that church. God was calling me forward and calling me out. My pride was broken. There was nothing left to me. He had wrung me out, and I'm glad He did, and He reached way below the bottom for me that night. But I was called. I know now that it was at Calvary that I went. I know now that in my heart it was to the foot of the cross that I was drawn. And I know for sure and did that night that Jesus was my only hope. And they told me with assurance that if I would trust Him, that if I would believe upon Him, that if I'd give it all to Him, that He would save me. And the last thing I remember right before I come to the realization that the burden of guilt was gone and there was peace in my heart, I declared faith that God had given me. I said, God, You know I believe. I plead the blood. I'm going to hell without You. You're my only hope. And I didn't say all of that, but I remember saying this: Lord, I believe, and You know I believe. There ain't nothing else that I can do. And buddy, when I got to that place, God had brought me there through His goodness and brought me to that point. And that night, I'm telling you, when I come after that all had faded away, the silence, I can't explain it. I couldn't hear the singing. It had kind of drowned it out. I believe I made it to where Zacchaeus did on the Jericho road. There's room for just two. No more, no less. Just Jesus and You. I repeated this because I heard it, but I still believe it. As a young preacher, I repeated what I heard the old preacher say. I got past the church that night, and I did. They went as far with me as they could. It was like they walked with me all the way through their burden in their heart, through their prayers and their rooting and cheering me on home. She walked with me to the foot of the cross and laid me down at the foot of Jesus, and He took me in. And that's how I was born again. And so I ain't gonna fight against that. You can call that the old time way. You can call it whatever you want to, but I know it works, and it worked for me. It worked for me. And I'm glad tonight for salvation. Salvation is deliverance from sin. It is a crossing over. It is God coming and making a way when there is no way. There was no way to God, but through a sacrifice, and God provided the Lamb. God made the way. Salvation is deliverance from bondage. And they were in bondage, and you are tonight. If you're a sinner, you're in bondage to sin. There's shackles upon you. You say, preacher, I can come and go as I please, but yet you're still in bondage. You've not been set free from sin and its result. Death abides upon you, and a great judgment lies ahead tonight. I believe that for a man to get saved, he's got to be under conviction and drawn by the Holy Spirit. It has been expressed many times to me, and I said, I've repeated this because I heard it, but I believe it's true. A man will not go to the doctor until he gets sick. And some people are different. Some people go quicker than others, but a man's got to get sick before he'll go to the doctor. And I believe when a man gets sin sick and he sees himself hung out over hell, and he hears the story, there's a man, there is a man tonight. When he hears the story, there's a man, and he's the great physician, not a physician, but a great physician. The writer said, it's a sad time. He said, why is the hurt of my daughter not healed? Speaking of Israel, is there no balm in Gilead? There's healing there. And there is a healing. There is a fountain that's filled with blood that can cleanse the sinner's guiltiest stains and wash his sins away and bring healing to the sick. Brother S.M. Lockard said that Calvary was a place where a sick man can get well. And I'm glad there's a place. Glad of that tonight. But there is a salvation that you can see. Salvation that you can see. Thomas said, I won't believe till I see. And I've heard the phrase in life, seeing is believing. But salvation is by faith. It is by faith. But it is not your within you without the help of God to produce it. You can't do that. You don't have that power nor that ability. See, if you preach salvation by grace through faith and that it's just salvation of the Lord, they'll call you Calvinist, but that's not what I'm preaching. But it's of the Lord. You can't do it on your own. This is more than I believe in Jesus like I believed in George Washington. You may believe in him and he was their first president. You don't know him. But salvation is deliverance. And salvation is deliverance through a supernatural power. Salvation is deliverance. It's an act of God. And it is done through a person. That's okay if you get all stirred up tonight and say, I'm glad I got it. But we got to define what it is. What is it? It is salvation. And when we want to go farther, we define what salvation is. Salvation is deliverance from sin. Well, how'd you get it? I got it through a man, the only one that can give it. That's Jesus Christ. Salvation is Jesus Christ. Salvation is a person. Is in a person. A living person. Not a person in the past, but a person in the present. Salvation is a right standing with God. You being made right with God. That's salvation. Salvation is you knowing Him. Knowing Him. I have met Him. I know Him. Salvation is a wonderful thing. I'm glad I know it. The Bible says, I believe in Hebrews 2, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Salvation is great. Salvation is the most wonderful thing that a human being can ever possess. It's the only thing you'll take with you, not to the grave, but through the grave. Thank God. Thank God. Brother Milby tells a story one time about a man who's going up a crooked road and he thinks he's lost his way. And he just says the best directions he had, he's just going to stay the course. And that's what we got to do, child of God. And he's winding his way around. He comes to an old man in the fence row. I don't know if it was his experience or who's ever it was, but said the road had got rough and it was ditches that hadn't been really looked like been took care of. Ditches and rocks and difficult traveling. And he said, this old man out here cleaning the fence, and he said, sir, I think I'm lost. I don't know where I'm really at. He said, this road is rough. He said, as I believe it tells me this is going to take me to where I need to get. He said, but I need to ask you, am I on the right road? And it's all right to check in every now and then. He said, am I on the right road? He said, believe it or not, you are. Just stay with it. It gets a little rough up here and a little steep here and there, but before long you'll see a cemetery. And when you hit right there, it's pavement the rest of the way. Thank God. Ain't you glad of that? I mean, the writer said, so often this road gets rough and rocky, but I know what lies ahead. Ahead is joy and gladness and rest for the weary soul. This is a product of salvation. When salvation is imparted and the righteousness of Christ is imputed to a sinner and put in his heart and the good work of God is begun, God will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ and take him all the way to where he's at. And that finished product is going to be wonderful. A glorified body, never a bad thought, no hindrances, no sin, no more many things tonight. You can just let your mind run wild. I mean, it's amazing to think about where salvation is going to take us as the children of God. But salvation is a person. I believe in a place. I believe if you get saved, there is a time in your life and a place that's special to you. Now, some you could really get hung up there because back home where I live, they are so involved in that, so deeply involved in that, that they got people scratching their head because there's just, they get specific. What was it, in the pew or was it at the altar? Well, you know, I mean, that ain't really necessarily what I'm talking about. But there is a moment in time, there is a place in your life, there is an event that come when you come in contact with the man named Jesus that afterwards you can look back and say, I changed. I become a different person after that time. That's being born again. any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things are made new. Brother Delmer Savage, I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He at one time he was a member of the church that Brother Billy Mitchell pastored, but Brother Delmer is still living, a good preacher. But he was preaching one night and he said, "I'll tell you one thing about a baby that he don't have, and that's a past." And he said, "Y'all ain't a getting that." But I'm glad when a man is born again, as I said no more, God said, "I've made a covenant with him, his sins and iniquities I will remember no more." God's brother Terry Pace told me this. I repeat anything worth repeating. I don't take the credit for it. I'd say if it's any good, they didn't come up with it. God had to give it to them anyway. But he said, God's not near as interested in where you've been as where he can take you. And you say, "I'll go back and fix this and that." Some of it, the wind's done blowed in the sand and your tracks is done gone. You couldn't never get back. I'm glad salvation is a forward motion. Apostle Paul said, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward toward the mark." I mean, salvation is a forward motion. I mean, time marches on. It never stops. And when we're not older, I'm 42, but I'm not older. And this means more to the aged person than it does me. But as a young man, I had a friend named Norman. And Norman had a big old belly. I don't know. I just got to tell you that for you to envision this. But he had to hold his belly. And friend, he'd get to rocking and a walking and a singing. I'm not getting older, but I'm just getting closer to home. I want to say tonight, we're going somewhere as a church. If you're here and you ain't a part of it, I say get on board and go with us. The Word of God says, "Come with us and we will do thee well." You say, "Preacher, you act like you believe somebody could get in tonight." Well, what would I be doing if I didn't believe that? I'd be spinning my wheels and wasting my breath and my time. I'm a preacher about a salvation that's real tonight and a salvation that's available. It's been paid for, bought by the blood at Calvary. And if God's offering that to you, you're a blessed individual tonight. Salvation's wonderful. Salvation is deliverance. Salvation is deliverance. Freedom comes with deliverance. If we was lost and behind the fence and we'd had our bolt cutters and we was in a prison house of sin and we'd laid in our beds at night like the jailbirds do or the prison birds do and decided we was going to get out and we'd got us a plan. And we'd went out here and we'd grind through the fence or went through the sewer, you know, wherever you want, and cut, got our bolt, somehow got through. And cut her way out and broke out and run. Our freedom wouldn't really be freedom. We would all the time be looking over our shoulders, scared that they'd catch us again. But we've not been just set free. We've been made free. We've been made free. And who therefore the Son has made free, I'll be free indeed. Free indeed. Free indeed. Thank God the shackles have fell off. And God has stood for us. And God has justified us. And Romans said, if God be for us, who'll be against us? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? I'm telling you the truth about it. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. We know that. He is a tormentor and he's an aggravating little devil. But don't you look forward to the day when you get across the river and all he can do is like the bull on the other side of the fence is just paw and blow. That's all he can do, and we can tease him then. Now, we can't tease him now because we're no match for him without the help of God. If the Lord was to pull the reins loose, look what he done to Job with God's permission. Now, the Lord allowed that, and God brought Job through, tried him and brought him through. But I'm no match for the devil within my power. But there's one in me who is greater than he that is in the world. Salvation tonight is wonderful. It is the greatest deliverance that a man will ever experience in his life. I'm glad for it. Now, I don't know how far I'll be able to get in my thought that's in my heart, and I could be nearing the end of my delivery tonight. But Moses said, "Stand still and see." Moses couldn't perform it. The people couldn't perform it. Jonah said, when the whale spit him up, he said, "I'll pay my vows and declare that salvation is of the Lord." In the New Testament, they said, "Show us a sign." And he said, "There's no sign given except that of the prophet Jonah, who was 3 days and nights in the belly of the whale. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth." And Christ was. He was put in the tomb 3 days and nights. Before He ascended, as I won't preach on that, before He ascended, He descended. And went down to the lower parts, the Bible says, and held captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And resurrected, and they came and found an empty tomb. And my pastor said this, and I know this is simple. You probably heard this way before I did, but the stone wasn't rolled away so He could get out. Because I read two accounts in Scripture, and Thomas's experience where the doors were shut, it said the doors were shut and He was there. He just appeared. He don't go through doors. He is the door. Thank God. Oh, Lord. And he didn't roll the stone away to get out. It was rolled away so we could look in. I like the song, don't you? I just passed by the tomb of Buddha. There He is, all wrapped up in grave clothes. I passed by Muhammad. There lay His old bones. But then I come to a garden just outside of Jerusalem. You look in there, He ain't there. They thought, they said, go and secure the tomb. Because you know what this deceiver, that was reference to Christ. They said, you know what the deceiver said while He was yet here? That in 3 days He'd rise again. Now they said, this is what we believe. They said, we believe that the disciples will come, His followers, and take His body and steal it away and say He's risen.
Right.
They said, if that happens, it's going to be worse than ever, didn't they? Yeah. And that didn't happen. But He got up.
Right.
The disciples come and found this tomb empty and the napkin folded and the clothes laying there. And the message was, He is not dead, but He is risen. And He said to them, because I live, ye live also. Salvation is eternal life. Not temporary life, but eternal life. Brother Sammy Allen just passed away. I didn't know him well, but my wife said of all the memories that I've seen shared on the computer, and we've watched a couple of things of the funeral, but one thing was said that every child of God can say. He said, when you hear that Sammy Allen is dead, don't believe a word of it, for I will be more alive than I've ever been. I don't know what Sammy had, but I know what I've got. I'm telling you, and I want to say, I'm glad for a salvation that you can see. And I want to say tonight, I don't know if this is a closing. I'm going to obey the Lord till I'm done. But I want to say the best place to see it is in the mirror. I see it when I look in the mirror. Do you see salvation when you look in the mirror? Can you look in the mirror and say, Lord, because of You, I'm not what I used to be. See, salvation is a person. Salvation is continual working in your life. If all you have is something way back there and nothing more, and you got to go back 30 years, I just wouldn't trust it. Your eternity is in the balance. I wouldn't trust it. I'd want to know more than that. I was talking to some of the brethren a little bit. One man said, I had an experience at 13. And he said, I think God done something for me. But he said, I went to the far country like the prodigal. He said, I come back and I had another experience. He said, I tell people I was saved at 13. But he said, if I get to heaven and God says you wasn't till you was over here, he said, I'll agree with Him. He said, that's not the point. He said, I know I am now.
Amen.
And that's where you better be now.
Yes, sir.
Are you saved today?
Yes.
Does Jesus live in your heart today? Now, if He don't live in your heart today, He never did. Because when He moves in, He moves in to stay. He may not have all of your heart. He may not completely occupy. Because there is a Holy Spirit that comes and abides, but then there is the filling of it. Every believer is not filled with the Holy Spirit. They're indwelt but not filled. Is that right doctrine? Is that right doctrine? It needs to be. I want to preach the right truth. But every believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit but not filled. It can be that a man is saved and indwelt and he stays a babe for a long time. He'll get in a mess if that's so. Peter said, add to your faith. But salvation is a continual work of God in your life. And the best place and the most important place for it to be seen is in the mirror. Now I see it in other people. I've seen it in a man's life named Roy. His name's Roy Strong. I sold a puppy to Roy, or a dog. I traded a dog. Roy was a dog trader. Roy, I went to Roy. I said, Roy, my dog won't run a rabbit. I said, did all yours run? And he was a dog trader and a sinner. He said, yeah, they all run. I thought that he was saying they all run a rabbit. But a dog trader will tell you they run, whether they run a biscuit or run a deer or what. I incriminated myself and I didn't know. I was young. But I made the trade. I traded my Molly for a dog, I forget the name of it, brought him home, had one jump dog named Dan, and Dan jumped one up, and here they went. And that dog just sat right down on his bottom and started howling. I was so upset. I thought, Roy lied to me. But I asked him, did he run? Dad come back and said, you've learned the dog trader, son. You know. And I only know if Roy remembers it. It don't matter. God don't remember it, because I was preaching a meeting one night at Athens Baptist Church. And Roy was there. And Roy had done been under conviction. I don't know if it was before or after. His wife named Candy. I was at a meeting at Poplar Log and saw Candy get saved. But I don't talk about Roy. Roy come out of the back one night. He said a ball of fire like that went through him. And I just remember he spun around. He squalled out real loud and down he went. In the floor, in the middle of the floor. Never made it to the altar. He had came the night before and didn't get freedom. Didn't get salvation. But that night Roy got saved. Garen Pyre, who owns Gamelia Shooting Supply, that's very famous in our area, right there where I live. He a few days later he said, I heard y'all got Roy Strong saved. He said, if you can get Roy Strong saved, you can get anybody saved. I said, we didn't get Roy saved, but God did. God can save anybody. And Roy comes to church a good bit now. He goes to a little country church, and their pastor serves another church. That's kind of common where I live. And they'll serve two country churches, and so they meet on the first and third. And a lot of times, on the second or the fourth, Roy and Candy will come down there to visit us. When Roy gets in the spirit, he salutes the Lord. He's a big old man. He'll put one hand on his heart and the other in the air. And he'll shake from the tip of his fingers to the bottom of his feet. I see salvation in Roy. I seen Roy's truck go the different way on Sunday. It's a salvation you can see. I see Roy that has stood up his own self and said, I did it all, he said. We had a little meeting in the Lions Club building. I got permission to use the Lions Club building. Had a meeting there. Roy got up. Said, I sold the pills. I sold the whiskey. I did it all, he said. But Jesus come in my life and made a difference in me. I see salvation in Roy. Salvation, you can see it. He said, stand still and see. This thing is real, friend. This thing is real. But where you really need to see it. See, I won't be there. It'll be me that dies. It's me that lives. It's my peace. It's not Roy's peace. It's good to have confidence in other people, but you need to know for yourself.
That's right.
Do you see salvation in your life? There's evidence of it. The Bible says that salvation is by grace through faith. And the Bible says that faith in Hebrews 11, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we don't see the Lord. We experience Him. We feel Him. We don't see Him like Thomas seen Him. One man said, that this lady said, I've seen the Lord. He said, well, I'm more blessed than you. They said, well, how's that? Well, I've not seen Him and I still believe. I've not seen Him. And he said, blessed are they who have not seen but yet believe. I've heard His voice. I've felt His touch. But I've not seen Him. But I can see Him in my life. I can look back. I can say, Lord, You was right there. Lord, You was right there. You was there and I didn't realize it, but I can look back now and say, Lord, it was You. I was like the men on, I've had experiences like the men on the Emmaus Road when He went away and I had a meeting with Him and it was unaware to them. They didn't know. Their eyes weren't yet opened. But they said, as we walked by the way and talked with Him, did not our hearts burn within us?
Yeah.
Salvation is not heartburns, but there is a feeling that can come in a man's heart that will absolutely set you on fire.
Yes, sir.
It'll set you on fire.
Yes.
It'll change you. It'll make a difference in you. It'll be so obvious to you. It'll be much like Miss Loretta Lyons back home who got saved. Miss Loretta said, I was in the altar in a meeting, calling upon the Lord. I left church with a heavy burden. Went back. She said, Dad had a farmhand. She said, we were pretty prominent people. She said, the Dad had a farmhand. And she said, I was just this little proper girl. She said, I didn't like it when they brought him home with us. I didn't like all of that. She said, I'm ashamed of it, but I didn't like it. She said, but one day, she said, I rose from the altar after the preacher Lemons had said, call him to lead in the prayer. She said, he led in the prayer that I was saved during that time. And she said, when I rose from the altar, I sat there a moment and I looked at him. And she said, I began to gaze at him and I think, what in the world has happened to that man? She said, he looked so different. She said, it took me a little while to realize that the change was not in him, but the change was in me. The change is obvious. I've had people say, my child made a profession. They even obey different. Salvation, you can see it. You can see it on people. They need to see it in us, folks. That's our light. That is, salvation is the light. The church is salvation. The church is the purchase of Jesus Christ. He bought it by His own blood. The church is a product of salvation, and we are the light of the world. Me and Brother Logan were stacking wood in the woodshed today. I preached a message back home one time on the Bible signs of salvation. God put a bow in the sky. We've seen it here today. God made a covenant with Noah. God's covenant's still good, ain't it? God's still on the throne. He's still in control. That ought to help you, sinner, tonight. It ought to help you, believer, tonight, to know that God is still in control regardless of the circumstance. But anyway, I preached that message and I'm through on Bible signs of salvation. We know we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. There's a love for you that I have as brothers and sisters in the Lord. There's a man comes to our church, he says, There's a friendship and a kinship with y'all. He said, that's greater than that of folk. And he said, I can't hardly explain that. But he said, I love my church family. I love the brethren. I love the brethren. I love them people that night. I loved them already, but I had such a love and an adoration for them people that the Lord put in my heart. Listen, God is love. The writer said, since He gave me this heart of love. We know we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. That's a sign of salvation in you. If you don't have love for the brethren, something's missing. He said, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Everybody don't see have a lightning bolt. One woman said when she got saved, the room lit up. And the preacher said, I don't doubt it. She said, it wouldn't matter if you did. The room lit up. She was real old, you know, about 90. She didn't care. She was there at the end, and she knew what she had, and she was fixing to try her out. You need it settled tonight.
Yes, sir.
You need it settled. But it may not happen that way for you. The Philippian jailer, as I said the other night, he could have said, there's walls fell, and there was an earthquake and everything, and prisoners. He could have told a lot of things, couldn't he?
Yeah.
But I didn't have that type of experience, but I got him. Salvation is Him, and I got peace. There it is. That's what I was dwelling on. I got peace. Is it settled? Peace. There's a peace. There's a wonderful peace, the writer said, in my soul tonight. He whispers sweet peace. God was in the fire, was in the mighty rushing wind at Pentecost. But He was not in the wind that blew so hard on the side of the mountain that it rent the rocks when Elijah was in the cave. God wasn't in that. But there was a voice, still and small, that got His attention. And there is a peace that can settle upon a man's soul when the burden of guilt and shame and sin is gone, and there is a deep, settled peace. That woman found it, I believe, on that bridge at that baptizing. You could see it. You could see salvation. She said. And she wiped him, and she said, thank you, Jesus. It was like a big old thunderstorm before that sin had caused in her life, and it was just brewing. But Jesus had spoke to her soul, and the waves ceased to raging. You could see it. You could see it. I've seen it in the smile as they rose from their knees. I've seen it. Have you seen salvation? I've seen it. Evidence, peace with God. You got peace with God tonight. If you do, you're one blessed person. You got something most of the world don't have. And I'll close this. Brother Logan and I was out there stacking wood in the woodshed today. And I thought of the old phrase, I'm fixed to take you to the woodshed. I think evidently in the past, that's where some daddies took their sons to whip them. Is that right?
Yes.
Take them back there. Has God ever took you to the woodshed? If you're His son, that means child. He has. You ain't forgot it. You say, I can't believe a loving God would do that. That is love.
Yes.
If you love your child, you'll spank them. Right. You'll discipline them.
Yes.
And the Lord said that He scourgeth every son. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens.
Yeah.
And He scourgeth every son. So in reference to that, there's been a few times God took me to the woodshed.
Yes.
When I said things. My first whipping was in seventh grade. It really was. I never forgot it. It was good. I'm glad God loved me enough to whip me.
Yes.
A lot of these kids out here, friend, that's in the world, that's running wild. Some of these that's protesting, acting a fool. What else you going to call it?
Right.
If they had been took to the woodshed a long time ago,
right,
they might not be there.
Right.
Some of these kids in the grave, now we all got our own will. Some of these kids, foolish living, went to an early grave. Not every circumstance is that way. But some of them, if it had a loving hand that brought that rebellious spirit under control, we know that it takes the Holy Spirit. We do know that. But I'm just in relating it to God. If you've ever been took to the woodshed, you ought to be thankful. Yeah, don't you thank God for... I wished I hadn't have been rebellious and had to get them, but I'm glad for every whooping. That just proves to me my sonship. Lets me know that I'm one of His. I can look back in my life, I can look in the mirror and I can say, Lord, I see the salvation of the Lord.
Yes.
I see it. Thomas said, I will not believe till I see, till I thrust my hand into His side, till I see those nail prints, I will not believe.
Yes.
But the moment he heard the voice of Jesus, he said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, Thomas, because thou hast seen, you believe. But blessed are they who have not seen, but still they believe. God has not left you alone with a witness. The writer said, Who is that at my door that's knocking, calling? And the other writer wrote another song and he answered it. Let him in. Let him in tonight. This can be your night. I love you tonight. It's good to be.